Good morning, my friends. Welcome to another Friday. Well, not Friday. No, it's a Sunday. Forgive me. A Sunday sermonette. And so I'm glad you can join me today. Of course, we're not able to have church today with the inclement weather, just the icy roads. But I'm glad you can tune in. And hopefully, this will be a blessing to us. I did have a couple of announcements again before we jump into. I do have a message here for us. But again, Sister Phyllis is going to be moving on this Saturday, April 5th. So after the men's prayer breakfast, about 10, 10:30, we can all head over from the church to her place, help her move. And so just fellas, let me know if you can help. And then don't forget, of course, we have a Resurrection Sunday that's coming up, of course, April 20th. Be sure to invite as many people as we can. I did get more invites, of course, they're at church today, but maybe you can get them on Thursday or next week, Sunday. Pass them out as many as you can. And then I did want to have a game, during the second half of the meal, our church family factoid game. And so if you have we'll do just one this time, just one interesting fact about yourself. Go ahead and just text it to me. Don't let anyone else know. Don't let your family members know. And so we'll play that game during that time. It will be a blessing. And then number three, yes, don't forget to vote April 1st on Tuesday. And so very important. And so thank you again for tuning in. And I know this is always a little different. I like to do things, just one take. I do have my son as the cameraman today helping out. And so that's a big blessing to me. But if things don't go the way that as smoothly, just bear with me. This is, I've been just doing this informally perhaps, but it's from the heart. So praise God. Okay. And so speaking about the weather, I'd like to just encourage us from the Word of God today, Acts chapter 27. So you have your Bibles, follow along, Acts chapter 27. And the title of this morning's message, Sin Will Take Us Further Than We Want to Go. Sin will take us further than we want to go every single time. And it's a lesson from Paul's pretty dramatic but treacherous journey from first his arrest in Jerusalem, then he goes to Caesarea, he launches out from there, and then he takes a ship to Rome, okay, where he's going to appeal his case to Caesar himself, okay? So this is Paul's journey from Jerusalem, Caesarea to Rome, but it really pictures the life of a Christian fraught with sin, temptation, and storms, okay? So we're going to get an application to our life as a Christian from the journey of Paul, okay, on his way to Rome in this account in Acts 27. All in all, we're not going to go through the whole journey, but Paul takes a total of three ships to get there. We're going to look at his passage on the second ship, okay, which is, one third into the trip to the second two thirds, okay? And so we're going to be looking at what happens then. And see what the scripture can tell us. I do have a little visual aid here, a map, which Kyla would, my son would point back and forth as we go. But before that, let's have a word of prayer. And so bow your heads and pray with me. Let's do that. Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this Lord's Day Sunday. I thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. And Father, thank you that we can even tune in to hear from your word. Help us to be always on guard against sin. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us from sin. And bless now this time, the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so let's go to verse 5 and 6. We'll start there. And Acts 27, verse 5 and 6. And it kind of starts our story here. Again, like I mentioned, we're going to pick up on the second ship that he gets on in the city of Myra. But let's read verse 5 and 6, and then we'll go to the map to get some bearings, okay? And so verse 5 says, "And when we had sailed," now this is Luke, who's accompanying Paul, and he's writing this, okay, including himself. "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia." So lots of locations there to get us going. And so if we can look at this point right here on the map here. So we have, if you can see here, we're going to try this. And from Jerusalem is kind of where Paul gets arrested, and then he gets taken to Caesarea. And they kind of launch out from Caesarea and kind of head up by ship from here. They kind of go up north this way. I can't even tell if you can see. I think hopefully you can see this. And then it says they go through Cyprus and taking a ship all the way to over here. Forgive the squiggly arrows there to Myra. And so this is where they are. Myra's right here. And so they stop there. And then look at verse 6. And verse 6 says, "And there the centurion found a ship from a ship off Alexandria, which is a city just south of them, from the Mediterranean Sea, but a ship sailing into Italy." And of course, if you look at the map here, we'll try our best to get it for you. And so this is, of course, if you can see from the angle, hope you can, Italy, of course, the boot right here. Rome, of course, is up here on the middle west section of Italy. That's where the destination is. And so they find a ship here in Myra. And so that's the plan, is to change ships. Now, what happens? Now, it says in verse 7, "And when we had sailed slowly many days from Myra," they sailed slowly off west, "and scares will come over against Nidus, the wind not suffering us." Okay, so I want us to look at the map here real quick. And so I had Nidus kind of labeled here on the map. And so they are leaving, if you can see, from Myra right here. And what's going to happen is they're going to sail all the way to Nidus. However, it's going to be a long, slow journey. And the reason why it's a slow journey, if you read in verse 4, it tells us that the winds were contrary. So the wind was blowing against them, okay? So far, not a whole lot of action going on, okay? It gets dramatic later. But Paul sails up, you know, follows the coast, and it heads out east. And the wind is against them, and so they're going very, very slowly. And it takes kind of forever to get to Nidus, okay? And here's the point I want to make. Sometimes it might think that it just takes us forever, I don't know, to get anywhere in life, you know? And you're doing as best as you can, but things seem to be against you, my friends. Number one, it's okay to wait on God. Because what happens here, when they reach at Nidus, Paul and company, you know, now Paul's a prisoner, okay? He's escorted by a centurion, but there's other sailors and crew. And in fact, it's a cargo ship that he is on that wants to make to Rome to sell the wheat. Okay, so he's on another ship that they kind of piggybacked on the way to Rome. But the idea here is this: we have choices to make, and we might be in our Nidus. You might be in your Nidus, and the wind might be against you. Might have taken you so long to even get here. You have ways to go, but it's not good traveling weather, okay? It's choppy seas out there. And so we have to make a decision. Do we go anyway, or do we wait for God's timing? Do we wait on God? Of course, we know the answer. Always wait on God, okay? But the idea here is it's okay to wait on God. It felt as though they were taking forever to get anywhere. And so because of that, what's going to happen? You'll see in verse 7, the crew decides to sail anyway. They really shouldn't, but they can't go west because the wind is coming from the west and blowing east. And so they go the next best thing. They're going to go south. Okay, so look at this here in verse 7. I'm going to read the rest of verse 7. "The wind not suffering us, we sail under Crete over against Salmone." And so if you look at the map here, they try to go west. They can't go west because the wind is blowing east. And so they kind of settle for going south. Okay, so they go down to the island of Crete right here. So they settle for going there. And so they come to Salmone. So they make it to kind of here. Okay, which is okay. The idea is they're trying to get, again, they want to get to Rome. They should have waited. They didn't. They get to Salmone. Now what happens there? Let's look at verse 8. "And hardly passing it." So they barely made it past there, okay? So they're kind of crawling their way through the wind. "They came onto a place which is called the Fair Havens." Now remember this. They make their way to the Fair Havens, which is actually, it's part of the map. I didn't have to add it here. It's real tiny font. And so if you can notice, they make it all the way here to the Fair Havens. And of course, fair means, you know, it means beautiful. It means lovely. Haven, of course, a place of rest and shelter and safety. And so they make it there, and it sounds good, and it would have been good. But let's see what happens here. Now, they come to Fair Haven. "Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." That's the island there on Crete. Now, verse 9, "When much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous." So, in fact, it's gotten worse. First of all, you had the winds that were contrary to them. It hasn't abated. Now it's worse. "Because the fast was now already past." That's the Day of Atonement. It's been just wrapped up, gotten done. Paul, now what does he do? He admonishes them. So now Paul kind of steps up. I know he's just a prisoner, but he's a learned man. He's a Roman citizen. And so he's voicing his thoughts, okay? And very firmly, this is what Paul attests to. And this is where the rubber meets the road for you and I in our journey, our voyage of life. Because Paul is going to picture the word of God. He's going to picture our conscience, okay? And this is what he says. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And so Paul says, all right, guys, we are here at Fair Haven. Let's just hunker down. Okay, let's not go to Rome just yet. Let's just take a time out, wait on God, and just settle in here for the winter. Because this is at this point after the Day of Atonement, it's about mid-November. The winter winds are coming in. It's way too harsh. Don't go. Okay, so that's the idea. Now, he gets outvoted. Okay, and this is where it kind of bears on us, because the idea here is, look at this. Nevertheless, the centurion believed, not Paul, and so he's kind of in charge, but he goes with the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven, where they were, Fair Haven, was not commodious to winter in, the majority of the crew, part advised to depart thence also. So everyone wanted to take off and not stay there, if by any means they might attain to Phenice, and their winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Now, look at the map here, because this is going to build up to our main point here of the sermon. And so they are at Fair Haven, right? And all they want to do is go to Phenice, which you see is over here. And this is roughly about 50 miles. And so Phenice has a better port. If you want to think from a worldly standpoint, there's more attractions, more amenities. So all they want to do is to go from Fair Haven, 50 miles west to Phenice, and there hunker down for winter. Okay, so that's all they want to do, is to go an additional 50 miles and there hunker down. And everyone outvoted Paul. He's got no right anyway as a prisoner, even though his counsel is worth heeding. But again, notice what it says here: if by any means. And that's where it gets in trouble, because they wanted to go to Phenice no matter what, right? And my friends, we should never be in a position where we want something so bad we're willing to compromise everything. And the idea is, sin will always take you further than you want to go. And the idea here is, oh, it's only 50 more miles, Paul. And the idea for you and I, oh, it's just one little sin. It's one night stand. It's one drink. It's one round at the gambling table. Whatever the case is, there's no small sin. Sin leads to more sin, and sin will always take you further than where we want to go. So this is a picture of that. Our conscience saying, don't do it, hunker down in Fair Haven. But then our flesh saying, and everyone else saying, our peer pressure, and everyone else saying, well, let's just go. What's the worst that can happen? All right, well, watch this. And so they take off, their plan anyway, to get to Phenice. Where do they end up going? So let's read in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. And so it starts off good. Sin always starts off pleasurable. And for a while, they think that, hey, we can ride this. It's not too bad. And for a while, sin will be pleasurable. And we might be deceived to be thinking, hey, I can handle sin. I can live this double life. I can do this thing. No, we can't. Be sure your sin will find you out. Okay, listen to this. So they thought, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So, okay, they're moving along. You know, the wind is blowing, but they're kind of bobbing along, going to Phenice. But look at verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon, which means almost like northeast or northwest, a cyclonic storm. So a huge storm blows out of nowhere, gets them, okay? Now, what happens? And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And so what happened is they were hoping to sail to Phenice, but while they were going, they got caught up by Euryclidon, a huge storm, which is going to, we're going to see here, it's going to last for weeks.
This huge storm catches them, blows them off course, and in fact, they get caught up so much they can't go the way they want to go. They have to just let go. They have to just let the storm take them, or risk capsizing and having the ship blown in half, you know, or blown over. And so they just had to, you know, relent. And so that's what happens. And the idea here, my friends, if we wade out into sin too much, we're going to get caught up by the currents of sin and get taken off, which is exactly what happens here. So the bottom line, don't sin, right? But this is what happens. And so where did they go? Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, the lifeboat here. And so the idea is they get blown all the way to, am I saying that Clauda? Anyway, they end up getting tossed all the way here, squiggly line to show the storm. And so they end up in this island. They're not at Phenice, they're at Clauda. And in fact, things had gotten so bad, they were able to bring the lifeboat in before it busted off. And look at verse 17. So they imagine they're going through the storm. It's dark, it's windy, the waves are crashing in, it's raining, you know, horrific winds. It's loud, it's scary. Verse 17, which when they had taken up that lifeboat, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Okay. And so now, Clauda, this region here, is kind of known for its quicksand. And so even though they reach quote-unquote land, it's not good land, okay? It's a quicksand, and quicksand will sink any ship, okay? You get stuck, you'll sink, and then everyone, you're done, okay? So this is bad. And so they realized that there's going to be quicksand at Clauda, and so they had no choice but to strike their sails, which is to strike their sails by lowering it down. It's a nautical term that means when there's a storm, winds can threaten to rip the sails in half, you lower it down. And then so that's what they did, and so were driven. And so even though the idea here is this, once we sin, they ended up in Clauda. Again, sinning is pictured by disobeying Paul, okay? But they ended up in Clauda, and they had some options. They could stay there in the quicksand or just let the storm carry them. So they had options, but they were both bad options, okay? The idea is once we sin, yeah, we can still have options. You know, should I confess and hurt my family's heart and tell them I did this sin, or should I live a double life and keep sinning and not telling them? I mean, I have options, but they're both bad. Bottom line is, don't sin, right? That's the whole point. But anyway, they have these choices, and what do? They didn't want to quicksand, so they strike their sails, lower them down, and just get blown by the wind. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And so they're going to get blown more out to sea. Remember, they wanted to go to Phenice. They're going to go way past Phenice now, and off they go here. And so they're going off to this way, into no man's land. And in fact, things are so bad that the ship is threatening to sink or capsize. So what they do to lighten the ship, they toss the cargo aboard. And so they toss the wares, the cargo. In fact, verse 19, and the third day, so this is only day three of the trip, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So this would be all the equipment that's used to load and unload cargo, the riggings, you know, the cranes, whatever, you know, machinery on the boat, the ship, they toss it over to lighten the load so that they can float better, okay? And then look at verse 20, and this is where, boy, when we sin robs us of our joy, of our hope, and this is going to be a horrible journey of despair. So look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Can you imagine? The storm was so bad, lasting so long, it's like continual darkness. And that's how life will be for us when we sin. Okay, sin will take away our joy, that light in our life. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And so everyone thought it's doom and gloom. And so, oh no. And of course, I'm assuming if I was a sailor there, pretty much everyone would be thinking, why on earth didn't we not stay in the Fair Havens? Why did we want to go to Phenice? We should have just stayed in the Fair Haven. Remember, a beautiful place of shelter. Why didn't we do it? Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Okay, but it's too late now. But again, for us, maybe remember, stay in our Fair Haven. It might not be ideal. It might not have all the amenities as the larger Phenice would. But if we are serving God, if we can be faithful to God there, praise God for that. Just serve him and wait on God. Okay, and so what happened? So verse 21, well, here's Paul. He says, but after long abstinence, Paul has been quiet this whole time, Paul stood forth in the midst of them when they were all without hope. Here comes Paul. Of course, he's the man of God, the man of the hour, and he represents God. He represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. He represents the word of God to us, praise God, and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. There you go. Imagine if I sin, you sin, we sin, and at our lowest point, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Should have listened to the word of God and how true it is. And so this is Paul saying, yeah, you should listen to me. Again, God tells us what we should do. But just like these men, they let loose from the fair havens and went, they wanted to go to Phoenix, got blown by Eurycleidon. God tells us what to do, but he gives us the choice and the liberty to do it or not. And so if we choose to sin, we can. We shouldn't, but we can. And so Paul says, you should listen to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I mean, sin will bring loss to us. Sin will bring hurt to us and those around us. And now I exhort you. Now, this is amazing because in verse 22, we're going to see point number three. God gives grace. Even when we sin intentionally, he gives grace. So look at this. Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Not just, you know, it's okay, neutral. Good cheer amidst the dark, horrible storm that I got myself into. But God is going to bail us out. This is God's grace right here. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. Everyone say amen. Praise God. But of the ship. So the ship's going down. Okay, but no, there'll be no loss of life. But the ship is a goner. This is what Paul is saying. Okay, so God gives grace. And how does Paul say this? Well, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. Paul's motive, you know, his motivation is he belongs to God, and he's serving God. And God sent an angel to him, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Don't worry, Paul, you will make it to Rome to talk to Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. They are all in your care. And Paul, it's going to be okay. Sirs, or wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. You gotta have faith, but you gotta believe. God gives grace, but we receive it by faith. For I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Okay, so everything's gonna be okay in the end, but we are gonna run aground onto some island, okay? And so Paul says there'll be some bumps along the way yet, but no loss of life. Again, we reap what we sow. God gives grace, but we reap what we sow. And then what happens? But when the 14th night was come, so this 11 days later, this is day three, night three, and then now it fast forwards to day 14. So for 11 days, what happens? Look at the board here. So for 11 days, they're still being tossed by the storm. And this is what happens for just a nightmarish 11 days. If I can get the angle right here. So they're here. They go like that, all over the place, getting blown, maybe a little loop here, all over, and they end up right here. Okay, and so remember, all they wanted to go was to Phoenice. They're going to end up at this strange island. They're going to find out later it's Melita. But this island is 540 miles away from where Fair Haven was. Phoenice was, you know, 50 miles. That's all he wanted to go. Sin will always take you further than where you want to go. They end up 540 miles away at Melita. But we're going to read this, what happens here. Okay, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, this Mediterranean Sea, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. So 14 days into the journey, they say, hey, we think we're coming to ground. And so they can see some land. And sounded, this is a nautical term, again, to sound for depth, okay? And so they typically lower a rope with a lead base to kind of see how far down they are to the, you know, to the bottom. Says here, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. FYI, a fathom is about 6 feet, so this is about 120 feet. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they're getting closer to land. Now the worry is they're going to crash. And there might be corals, there might be rocks, jagged rocks, and so that can kill them. So the seamen are afraid. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, that's the rear of the boat, and wished for the day, and they hoped that that would slow them down. It does. And look at verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, now look at these guys, they got scared out of their wits. They were supposed to lower the anchors in the front of the ship as well, so the ship won't get turned around. But they don't do that. They pretend to do that, but they're actually going to try to abandon ship here, which they shouldn't. When they had let down the boat into the sea, that's the lifeboat, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, the front of the ship, so that they pretended to do that, but they were actually lowering the, you know, not the anchors, they were lowering the lifeboat so they can take off every man for themselves and kind of save their own skin. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these sailors that are trying to sneak off here, abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And so the sailors were needed to help steer the ship the rest of the journey. And if the sailors just saved themselves and got in the lifeboat and took off, everyone else would be dead, okay? And yes, God gives grace. Yes, he does. And that was God's promise to Paul. But we must obey. God gives grace, we must obey. He gave grace to save us from our sins through Jesus Christ, but we must obey and believe in Jesus Christ, okay? It's not automatic. This is part of God's plan. Okay, point number 4, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Stay in the boat. Amen. Be faithful to God. We must obey, must stay faithful. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And so before the sailors could get in, they cut the rope. There goes the lifeboat. No one's in it. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. And so you can just imagine just how things would somber up. The sailors maybe felt bad. And so maybe there's a kind of a moment of quietness here. They're still tossed in the storm, trying to get by. And Paul is trying to keep them encouraged. And here's what he does. And here we're going to see all the way to verse 37, a beautiful illustration of how God provides for all of us. Literally in the midst of the storm. Okay, so what happens here? So Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So now this is the 14th day, okay? Again, it starts with night first and then day. And so now this is the sun is dawning up. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. What a reminder that God loves us. Even the very hairs on our head are numbered. In fact, you have a very close Sermon on the Mount thing going on here. Verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And so he gives grace and thanks God for the food. And Paul eats first by example. And look at his godly example. And may this be true of every husband, every dad. Lead by example. Look at verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, so he won them over, and they also took some meat. This is huge, because Paul's influence is going to save their lives again momentarily here. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. That's 276. And when they had eaten enough, so everyone's filled, they lightened the ship, this is for the last leg to get to land, and cast out the wheat into the sea. So this is a cargo ship. It's already lost its cargo. It's already lost its tackling. Now it's going to lose the wheat that it's carrying for sail. And so everything now, the ship has been stripped down to its bare bones, okay? And when we sin, we lose everything. Now, praise God, their life is still intact, but they lost everything else. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So they get to land, they see a little break in the bridge, in the beach with a little creek, and that's where they're going to aim to ground themselves. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves onto the sea, trusting Paul's word, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made towards shore. So they're coming in fast, the tide's carrying them in, and falling into a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And so the ship is coming apart, but and so I pictured this like a movie. Just as the ship is breaking apart, they make it to shore, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. This is a Roman, you know, rule. If something happens to the vessel, the transportation unit, you kill the prisoner so they can't escape. But look at this, the centurion, willing to save Paul, because Paul had won him over, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim, they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, by hook or by crook, right? And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land, and they made it to Melita. Whew, safe and sound, the ship is gone, but the whole crew, not one was dead, and they all made it there. And so praise God for that. And then now they find out in chapter 28, verse 1, that they're at Melita. And then, of course, they wait 3 months there. Another ship takes them, and they end up going to Rome. But the idea here is this, my friends. Sin will always take us further than where we want to go. It's by God's grace that they made it, but it was through horrible times. They lost everything, and they crashed onto Melita. And then they had to time out there for winter. Remember, all they wanted to go was 50 miles to Phoenice. They ended up getting blown by the storm 540 miles. To Melita. And by the way, perhaps we feel like we've been grounded too. Like Paul here, now his ship has been grounded, broken, but he still has a job to do. He doesn't just quit. He doesn't just settle there. Of course, he takes the next ship and they end up going to Rome anyway. And so again, my friends, no matter where we are, always purpose to trust in the Lord. You know, be mindful of where we are. Stay faithful. It's okay to wait on God. And be wary for sin, because sin would take us as far as we can't even imagine, to the point of death. The wages of sin is death, and so we know that. But praise God for His grace through Jesus Christ. And so that's all I had, my friends. Again, it's a little longer than a Friday devotion, but I wanted to be, you know, a little bit more comprehensive for Sunday. And I hope all is going well with you. We'll pray for one another, pray for our country, and pray for the election on Tuesday. And God richly bless you, my friends. We'll see you next coming Sunday, and take care. Bye-bye.